First of all, as you came in, you were given these little slips of paper, offered them to you, to put the name of someone on that you want to pray for, who is not in full communion with the church, who hasn't gone to Mass probably for a long time. And so we ask you to write their names down. And then if our ushers will collect them, and then at the end of Mass, you'll be given somebody else's name to pray for, and we ask you to pray for them all the way through to Easter. And if you want to continue praying for them beyond that, that's okay too. Now, there was an Irish cruise ship, and the captain called one of the crew members down and said, a passenger in cabin 336 died, and I want you to go and bury him at sea with quietly so we don't disturb the other passengers. And he said he would do that. And almost 2 hours later, the fellow comes back to the captain, and he's obviously been in a fight. Captain said, what happened? He says, well, I went to cabin 633. The captain said, that was a wrong cabin. What happened? He said, well, I went there, and the fellow said that he wasn't dead. But I still buried him at sea, but I had to fight with him because he said he wasn't dead. But, you know, he was a man from Cork, and you know how those people from Cork are terrible liars. Later on, this will get you. The point is that Lazarus was dead. The passenger in 633 wasn't. And there are some people that want to deny the miracles of Jesus and say that that when the daughter of Jairus died or when the son of the widow of Nain had died, they had just been dead a few hours and maybe just a coma, and Jesus awakened them. But there's no question in Lazarus. He'd been dead 4 days. And Jesus did raise him from death to life. The first reading, Ezekiel speaks to the people in exile in Babylon. And the people feel that they have died. That their land, which was a sign of their relationship with Christ, with God, has gone. They're not in possession of it any longer. The temple has been destroyed. But God says through the prophet, I will give you, open your graves and have you rise from them. I will put my spirit in you to make you live, to make you know that I am still the Lord, and I will always be the Lord. This spiritual resurrection that Ezekiel speaks of is manifested in the physical resurrection of the gospel. And it manifests many things. First of all, we see the intimacy of Jesus with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They have such a close relationship with him that they can be, they feel able to ask him for something. And they send word to him about Lazarus' sickness. And we also see that Martha and Mary are so close to the Lord that they can scold him. Master, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And we also see Jesus embracing the reality of his coming passion, that he would go back to Judea after they had been trying to stone him. And we also see his patience. He has patience with the apostles when he says, I'm going to go to wake Lazarus, and they don't understand. He's patient with Martha when she says, well, I know he'll rise at the resurrection of the last day, and he's patient with her. And we also see the profound love that he has for Lazarus in the shortest verse that we have in the Gospels. Jesus wept. Jesus is a man like us in all things but sin. And he has human feelings. So he could weep over the death of Lazarus, even though he knew he was going to raise him up. I'm sure Jesus wept many other times. I'm sure he wept to the death of Joseph, whom he loved as a father. I'm sure he wept at the death of other family members and friends. I'm sure he wept at hurts when he was a child. And I'm sure he also wept as he wept over Jerusalem, because he wept over the failure of people whom he loved to believe in him. Then Jesus goes to the tomb. And he says something that's unreasonable. Open the tomb. And Martha says there's going to be a stench. It's going to be smelling. He's been dead for 4 days. But Jesus knows what is going to do, and they obey him. So then he gives thanks to the Father for hearing him. And he asks the Father to glorify him, to glorify himself in Jesus' actions. And says, Lazarus, come forth. And he comes forth. He is back to life again. And as unthinkable as it was for him to open the eyes of a man born blind, even greater, he gives life to a man who's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus does even greater things today. He gives life to those who are dead in sin. He gives life through the healing waters of baptism. He gives life also to those who have spiritually died in sin. Even if they have sinned over and over again, he still offers them his forgiveness and life. As Paul says, we are in the Spirit. And even though our weak flesh continues to turn us away from the Lord, the Spirit calls us back to belong to Christ in the depth of our being, to belong to Christ even if we turn away again and again by sin. His Spirit will bring us back to life again if we continue to seek his mercy, that we may live in him today, and that he may live in us today, and that we may live in him forever in the world to come.